Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. Kevin Freeman is in the house virtually, I'm pleased to say, our special warrior in the battle space of economic warfare. He is the Center for Security Policy's senior fellow with that portfolio. He is also the driving force behind a terrific web resource, globaleconomicwarfare.com. Kevin is the author of two terrific best-selling books, Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack, and Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. He is also soon to be the star of a major new project. It is called Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman, which will be featured on the Blaze television network. It's always a pleasure to have him with us. Kevin, good to talk with you. Welcome back.
Good to be here, Frank. Thanks.
Well, I was just discussing with our friend Tom Rogan the developments with respect to Qatar. This is a country, as you know, Kevin, that has been playing a double game with the United States. There is now an effort to hold it to account on the part of some of the American government's most important allies in the region. What do you think is going on there, and how should this finally be resolved?
Well, absolutely. The effort by Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, UAE is right on target in the respect that Qatar has been linked to terror financing. They've hosted Muslim Brotherhood. They've promoted people like Qaradawi, who has said things like, we must see capitalism collapse. That he wanted to replace it with usury, that all ours, meaning belong to Sharia-following people, and that Muslims should take every opportunity to see the collapse of Western financial system. They are really involved, and they were involved in 2008. They continue to fund the Muslim Brotherhood, and this is a noble and worthwhile effort of these nations, and we must, as the president has said, stand with them and drive the terrorists out.
Well, we're seeing his Secretary of State in particular, and I think to some extent the Secretary of Defense, taking a somewhat different line. The Qataris, for their part, Kevin, are pushing back against what's being described as a blockade against them, a bit of economic warfare, if you will, against them, with some lawfare and you know, threats and coercive techniques of their own. Again, how do you see this playing out in the end? Will they be forced to jettison the Brotherhood and cut off the funding to it and other Sharia supremacists? Or do you see some sort of accommodation that will allow this sort of activity to continue in Qatar going forward?
Well, the Qataris have been very successful at using commercial transactions to open the door for their economic warfare or their economic espionage and manipulation. One of the stories that came out is comments about the building in New York that the Kushner family owns and how they had offered to put money in with certain conditions and so forth. And they're very good at using these sorts of manipulations. I hope that it plays out, not only that we stand firm and say that you've got to cut out financial terrorism and invest and terror financing, but as they point out the hypocrisy in Saudi Arabia, for example, that they also have been supporting and financing terrorism, I hope that we're able to root that out as well. We should go across the board. Terror financing is wrong. Supporting the Muslim Brotherhood is wrong, and we should progress to stop them. They are using lawfare. They're suing now for compensation from this, as they call it, a blockade. But we should stand firm against them. What they're doing is wrong. We should root it out, and hopefully they will not. If we keep our resolve, they will not be successful, and we can make great progress here.
Well, in addition to it being wrong on a kind of moral level, I think you're also saying, Kevin Freeman, that it is very much contrary to our vital interests that they engage in this kind of behavior. And I think you're right. This has to be established as unacceptable by the Qataris or, for that matter, others in the region as well. Let me turn to another issue, Kevin, where a bit of economic warfare might have a therapeutic effect. Venezuela at the moment as you know, is, I believe today, marking its 100th day of increasingly violent protests against this despotic Maduro regime. It is moving forward, nonetheless, inexorably to complete the destruction of what was left of democracy there with a so-called constituent assembly that will be thrust upon the people of Venezuela shortly, all other things being equal. One of the things that a number of our guests have said over the past few months as this crisis has risen and intensified is that the United States government ought to intensify pressure on the regime by stopping the import into this country of Venezuelan heavy crude and the export from this country of refined product from it, gasoline, among other things. Where do you come down on that? Could we do it? Would it be costly to us? And do you think it would it be effective on the regime in Venezuela?
First question is, could we do it? Absolutely. Venezuela doesn't have many places to sell their very heavy crude other than to the United States. We have other sources for the heavy crude, and we certainly can produce all the crude that we need here. So we can do it. It would not be very costly to us to pursue that. It means everything to them and very little to us. And it would be highly effective. We should put every pressure we can on the regime while simultaneously offering the carrot to the people of Venezuela. You're our neighbors. You know, we share so many common values with you. We support you. And you know, put the blame where it belongs on Chavez as the creator of a terrible system that's been followed through and worsened, and not on the people. I think the people have been the victims here. But absolutely, that's economic warfare we can do right now. And we absolutely should reach out to the Venezuelan people. They're good people. And we've got to do whatever we can to keep out the Russians, the Iranians, and the Chinese who are trying to side with the regime and be a negative influence in our hemisphere.
Kevin Friedman, let me ask you quickly about one other issue. We've been talking about the meeting between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. The president titillated a lot of people and alarmed many as well in talking about the possibility of setting up a joint Russian-American cybersecurity unit. You've, of course, as I mentioned, written a book about the coming cyber economic attack. There are a lot of people who figure that will be coming from the Russians. What's the idea here, and is it advisable, as you understand it?
Well, the idea I don't think is advisable at all. The idea of setting up a joint task force with the Russians where we would share information and so forth, because that'd be putting the fox in charge of the hen house. But I think it creates a unique opportunity for the president. Let's go with the fact that everybody now agrees that Russians hack things. The Democrats agree with that. Everybody agrees. That was something I argued 4 or 5 years ago, and a lot of people, oh, Russia's our friend, they're our ally, and they look down on it. We should start with that premise. And the president really, frankly, ought to call immediately for the DNC servers to be turned over so that we can really get crystal solid proof that we can take against the Russians. And so he ought to politically make that claim and push that as hard as he can. We cannot imagine Putin as a good actor. He is not. And we cannot imagine that Putin will act, you know, create a cyber unit that will help protect us. We've already outsourced so much of our IT and cybersecurity to the Russians. It's frightening. The idea of building this unit makes absolutely zero sense to me. We have all the capabilities that we need. We would add none, and we would be transmitting information to them that we should not do.
Kevin Friedman, we have to leave it at that, though. Thank you very much, as always, for the great work that you do at globaleconomicwarfare.com, and that you share with us at the Center for Security Policies, our senior fellow. We are very much looking forward to your new role in the economic war room. Keep us posted on progress in that area as well. Next up, we'll talk with David Satter, one of the country's preeminent authorities on the Russians, and before that, the Soviet Union, about what to expect from that quarter in the days ahead. That and more, straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.